You're listening to the So You Think You're Intuitive podcast, a podcast to help you reactivate, grow, and trust your intuition so you can live a more empowered and connected life. Join me, Natalie Miles, spiritual mentor and psychic medium, every Wednesday for inspired conversations, guidance, and practical tips on how you can work with your intuition in your everyday life. Because who doesn't want to trust their intuition more? Welcome back to So You Think You're Intuitive. I'm Natalie Miles, taking you on this journey to reactivate, trust your intuition, and become a conscious intuitive. Hello, happy Wednesday. Welcome to the podcast. If you are a new listener, welcome. Welcome to So You Think You're Intuitive. I haven't mentioned this in a while, but if you are new to the podcast, I really encourage you to go and listen back to the first ever episodes because I was really taking you on a episodic journey to reactivate, grow, trust your intuition, really kind of layering on this kind of journey element. So if you are new to the podcast, go and have a listen to the first episodes talking about releasing your shame, connecting to your intuition, talking about what is a spiritual reactivation, talking about, how to ground and protect yourself, how to receive messages. So go and have a listen to the back catalog as well as these newer episodes because I share a lot of information and there are also free guided meditations that go with each episode as well. So yeah, go and have a listen to those. So last week I was on a spirit quest. I was doing a bit of a solo retreat out of the city, getting out of Vancouver. I headed to Salt Spring Island. I Airbnb'd a small cottage in the forest for the week and it was really needed. I really needed to get out of the city and just to experience the quiet. Like you don't realize living in a city how much background noise there is. And when you really put yourself back into that space of quiet, the information and the downloads that want to come through for you. I received so many messages for myself and messages for the collective, which I'm going to be sharing more on here over the next few weeks, the next few months and into 2020. It was a really deep time just to get quiet and receive. And it really made me look at my morning routine. And it also made me realize being in the forest, being with the trees, being on ground level, like I live in an apartment block high up and it made me realize that I need to get grounded more. I need to take my shoes and socks off in the local park and put my feet on the earth, even though people will be like, who's the crazy lady in the middle of winter with her bare feet on the earth? But it's made me really realize I need that. I need to feel grounded. I need to really connect to my root chakra so that I'm in my body more. So that was a really great insight that I took. I actually, before I went into the spirit quest, I had received some guidance from spirit around two things that I'm going to be offering and bringing into my business and doing for 2020. So this space really allowed it to germinate in my body and to just really bed into my energetic field and to really get that hell yes deep into the soul's core because they're really big projects and they're going to be self-funded projects as well. And I'm really excited to share them with you next year. But to do that, and because they're self-funded, I've decided that I'm going to be bringing back a handful of monthly one-on-one client sessions. So if you've wanted a one-on-one reading with me, I'm going to be opening my books up again for a limited amount of sessions to get access to the sessions, the link is going to be going out to my newsletter only first. So if you've wanted a one-on-one session with me, if you'd like me to channel messages for you personally to look at what's going on in your life, where your blocks are, to connect to loved ones that want to come through, to really go deep and unlock your inner potential and what you want to bring through for the year ahead, for 2020, make sure you sign up to my newsletter. The email is going to be going out next week and these spots will get grabbed up quickly. I'm going to be releasing dates for December and January of 2020. So if you feel called for that, make sure that you're on the newsletter. But I've also decided that I'm going to be keeping the sacred guidance circles once a month. So if you would like to receive messages in a group setting where I will channel a message for you and you'll get to ask two questions, that will be happening once a month as well. So yeah, I got the message from Spirit to bring back a limited number of one-on-one sessions, but to also keep the group session as well, because I love doing the group readings and it's amazing to see the collective messages that come through for that small intimate group. I will put a link into the show notes of how you can sign up to the newsletter. And if you're not interested in a one-on-one, sign up to the newsletter anyway. I share spirit musings, writing, you get access to discount codes and previews of things coming up before anyone else. So sign up to the newsletter. A couple of small other announcements. So tonight I am hosting the Create Your Money Freedom online circle. This circle is part of the message that came through for November around deepening freedom and that money was something that we needed to look at this month and look at our connection to our freedom around money. Like, how does money give me freedom? Am I being controlled by money? What are my blocks around money? So in this online circle this evening, we are going to be delving really deep into this. I'm going to be leading us on a ritual. There's going to be journaling, guided meditations, and we are going to be removing the blocks to discover and create our money freedom that is aligned for the energy for this month, but also so that we can bring it through for the rest of the year and into the new decade going forward, starting next year, 2020. So if you'd like to look at what your money story is, how it's connected to your ancestors, and what is holding you back from your money freedom, join me this evening. It's $25. If you can't join live, no worries. A replay goes out to everyone, and this is an amazing circle to do as a replay. And you will experience exactly the same thing as if you were live. Link in the show notes of how you can sign up. But yeah, it's $25 and the link will be in the show notes. And this Saturday, I'm hosting a psychic circle where you will be able to receive messages from Spirit. I'm going to be leading you in a guided meditation and you will be able to receive messages from others. There'll be little small breakaway groups where you will be able to practice sharing messages. And if you don't want to practice sharing messages, you'll be able to receive messages from other people as well. So yeah, that is happening this Saturday. And all of this information will be in the show notes that will be able to link you back to my website where you can find out more. Okay, you guys have sent some amazing questions for this Q&A and you've sent them as audio files, which I love, which means I get to share your voices and hear your voices on the podcast, which brings me so much joy. So thank you for everyone who submitted a question. I didn't get to answer all of them, but I have them all catalogued so that for future episodes, I will be coming back around to questions I didn't get to answer on this episode. Okay, let's start. I'm actually going to start with a written-based question. Elodie wrote in and she said, I've got a question for your podcast. You always say that we receive messages in our own voice in our head. I do receive messages like that, but when I really connect with my guide, typically through your guided meditations, I seem to hear a voice that isn't mine with an accent that isn't mine. Is it my imagination then? Thanks for your question, Elodie. So for the majority of people, we will hear the messages in our own voice. It will sound like us and it won't sound like a different voice. But on occasion, for some people, you can hear a voice with an accent. For example, once I was in a guided meditation and a French clown came through and he was from the 1920s and I saw him and I heard him and he had a French accent and he came in to give his messages, but he sounded like a man and he had a French accent. So you can have messages that come through from different people with different accents as well. Sometimes when I'm doing mediumship, I can tell that someone has an accent too from how they're speaking. So I will say, was this person Scottish or were they Italian or were they from Australia? Because I can hear their accent coming through in my messages. So be open to hearing different tones, different voices, different accents. But know that a lot of your own personal predominant messages will sound like your own voice. Thanks, Elodie. I hope that helps. So our next question is from Natalie.
Hi, Natalie. This is also Natalie. I'm from Portland, Oregon, but living in Cambodia currently. I have a question about deep shame around intuition. And how that might impact the way we perceive or interpret our guides. So if we're experiencing a lot of fear around connecting with spirit and connecting with messages, given like previous religious and patriarchal programming, can that cause us to perceive and interpret our guides as fearful or scary? And if so, how do we shift out of that type of mentality and that type of programming and into a sense of more like collaboration and personal agency and love? Thanks so much and really love your podcast.
Natalie, thank you for asking this powerful question. Yes, we can hold so much shame around connecting to our intuition. I like to describe it as that we hold this ancestral shame of connecting to our gifts, for believing in the collaboration, personal agency, and love that our guides have for us, that spirit has for us, and that we all have access to this power. Like if every single one of us inside of us has this connection. And that religion and patriarchal programming, as you so well put, does have an impact on us trusting our intuitive gifts. And we hold that fear in our body, in our DNA, from our ancestors who have held that shame. So how do we break that? How do we break that as a cycle so that we're not seeing it as fearful and scary? And how do we shift out of that mentality, as you ask? For me personally, it was practicing my gifts. It was really just allowing myself the opportunity and giving myself permission to trust, to invite spirit back into my life, to allow my gifts to develop and to create that collaborative energy, to connect to my own personal self-sovereignty around my gifts and know that I'm not making them up and that I need to trust them and allowing them into my life on a daily basis. So practicing the daily connection to spirit, practicing the daily connection to yourself and trusting what feels good in your body. I share more about this in one of the earlier episodes. In fact, in the first ever episode, talking about how we can break free from this ancestral shame. There's also a free guided meditation that goes with that episode, which I think you would really enjoy doing. And it is a guided meditation that will take you through an energetic process on releasing the ancestral shame and reprogramming your your body so that you are open and ready to receive your intuitive messages and guidance. But it is easy to slip back into the fear around connecting to your intuition. And when those moments come up for you, it's about acknowledging them and seeing them and really listening to how it feels in your body to experience that and be like, okay, I know that this isn't true and that I know that I'm intuitive and I can connect and feel the love, like feel the love from spirit and connect to that love and energy that you know that you have in your body, whether it's via guided meditation, singing, dancing, whatever you do in your life that brings you joy, bring it back to those things when the fear comes in. I hope that helps. Go and have a listen to the first ever episode on the podcast. And yeah, go and do the guided meditation that is designed to really break free from the ancestral shame around connecting to our intuitive gifts. Next up, we have Lydia from Colorado.
Natalie, this is Lydia, and I have a question for you from Colorado.
I actually have two questions, so maybe you can pick which one you want to answer. So my question is, if you've received an intuitive message and then you catch yourself doubting that message, what do you do? I received a message that someone I love and care about is being guided and is receiving the help that I think they need. And I still find myself obsessing about whether that's happening. So that's my first question. Then I have another question, which is, in your previous podcast, you had mentioned that 2020 is going to be a challenging year, similarly in the way that 2012 was. And 2012 nearly broke me. I went through a divorce. I got into massive debt. I lost half of the custody of my child. My home got infested and I lost the majority of my possessions. It was a majorly transformative year. And yes, those changes were positive for me in the whole. But when I heard you say that next year is going to be similar, I immediately clenched. So if you could just talk a little bit more about what is expected in 2020. And I know you already shared a little bit about how we might prepare ourselves, and I've been working on that, so I appreciate that. But maybe you could also talk a little bit more about things we might want to have in place or plan to practice in 2020 to make the most out of the changes that are coming. Thank you so much for your service to the world.
Lydia, I'm not going to choose which question to answer because they're both great and I want to answer them both fully. So, that first question around doubt. I know what that's like when you get that intuitive message and you know it to be true. You feel it in your bones. You feel it in your heart. You're like, yes, I get it. I received the message. And then you get that nagging feeling that, is it right? Is that the right message? Should I be taking action on that? Am I making it up? And then your kind of mind can go into overdrive and you can start focusing on that. And then it kind of can sometimes spiral. And then you kind of lose perspective whether did you make the message up? Is the message real? Or what is the actual outcome of the guidance that you received? Especially when you mentioned this is about worrying, and to use your words, obsessing whether someone else is receiving the help that they need. Trust the intuitive message, because what's happening is the ego mind, the fear-based mind comes in and begins the chatter, whether it's like, well, are they getting the help? Should I be intervening? Should I leave them to it? And that is what is being called for you, is this need to separate yourself from this person that is receiving the help, trusting that they are and that you don't need to get involved and that you just need to stand back from that. And that for you is like a whole rewiring that is happening where it's like, I'm trusting, I'm surrendering, I've done my bit and I don't need to fully get involved and trust that this person is receiving the help. And how I want to describe this is the intuitive message will come in and then it will disappear. It will come in and then it will disappear from your sphere, from your thoughts. But the ego fear-based mind will just keep coming in with the thoughts, will keep coming in and it will just build and build and build. And so when you keep getting the repetitive kind of tuning in and questioning, that is a great way to distinguish between the intuitive message and when the fear and the worry and the obsession is coming in. So trust and listen to how it feels and yeah, step back and just allow that person to receive the help. Your question about 2020. Yes, 2020 is going to be a really big year, and I have compared it to the energy of 2012 and the reactivation, awakening energy that a lot of people experienced in their lives in 2012. There was a lot of breakdowns and shifts in relationships and in people's lives, as you have mentioned, of what happened in your life in 2012. The difference between 2012 and 2020 is we're being asked in 2020 to ask ourselves for whatever shows up for us in the exterior, whatever chaos or whatever things might be showing up for us, how will we do it differently? How will we act differently for what we had to experience in 2012? We're being shown and we're being told that we've different, we've evolved, we are upgraded, we are being given an opportunity to react differently, to realize our own inner strength, to realize our own inner power. 2020 is a year of really realizing your own inner power and inner strength, because is there a potential power struggles on the exterior world that might show up in our relationships, in our careers, in our politics, in our collective, and in the planet as a whole. We're being really called to realize our own inner power, our own self-sovereignty, our own knowing and our own belief, and really bringing it back to the practices or the rituals and the things that you love to do that make you feel grounded, that make you have that inner power, that you don't feel helpless and that other people have control of you. It's really tapping into that. And as I mentioned in the How Are We Being Prepared for 2020 episode, go and have a listen to that if you haven't already. Anyone that's listening to this and want to know about how we're being prepped for 2020, go and have a listen to that episode. But yeah, we're really being called to look at the things in our lives that bring us joy and to release the things that are blocking us and that we're being called to let go, ready for the energy of next year. This is a great time just to have everything in order. Have your paperwork in order. Have your banking in order. If you've been wanting to clear out old boxes from your home or go through old photos, go through them. We are really being called to have everything in order so that we are preparing ourselves for the energy of what wants to come through. Thanks for your questions, Lydia. The next question is all about astral traveling from Lina in France.
Hey Natalie, my name is Lina from France. Since 2018, I've been getting out of my body at night. You could say astral traveling, but I don't go too far as I am a bit scared. My spiritual journey began with this powerful experience. Since then, I have been wondering what is the purpose of those travels, as not all people experience them, and how to protect myself from bad entities, as a lot of persons tell me that it's not a good thing. My intuition does not tell me that it's a bad thing, but I just want to be prepared, so thank you for your advice.
Lina, yeah, trust your own intuition. Know that you are safe when you astral travel. You can call on your guides before you go to bed, call on spirit and just say, hey, protect me when I go astral traveling. I know that you will, but yeah, you can just call in that energy of protection. Imagine the bed in white light. pushing out so that you are fully protected when you go astral traveling. But for me, the messages that come through of like, what's the purpose of astral traveling? Why do we do that? What is the point of it? What comes through is that it's an opportunity to upgrade our bodies while we astral travel so that we can really tap into the energy when we are out of our bodies of this galactic space energy that wants to come through from different dimensions. It's about us realizing and experiencing different dimensions when we are out of our body and feeling that as an energetic core and being able to travel. But yeah, it's a real beautiful opportunity to realize that, yes, I have this amazing energetic body here on this plane, on this planet, but that I am also connected to other dimensions and that I am an energetic body that can travel through space and time. And that's what astral traveling gives us, that opportunity to experience. I know some people who have self-taught themselves astral traveling by reading books and going online and really looking at how the best ways that they can astral travel. For me personally, it just happened naturally while I was sleeping, and I experienced it that way, so I didn't have to do that. But if you're listening to this and you feel called, yeah, go and have a research of like, how do I astral travel? How do I harness that energy? How can I develop that and go down the rabbit hole of astral traveling? That I know there's a lot of information out there on developing the ability to astral travel. Great question, Lena. Happy traveling. The next question I get asked a lot, so I'm really pleased that Jesse has submitted this question. I have answered it on the podcast before, but I want to answer it again because it is an important question to look at.
Hi, Natalie. My name is Jesse. I live in Manhattan, and I'm currently in Florida as I am a frequent traveler. So I wanted to ask you about antidepressants and other medications. I am currently going through a spiritual reactivation that has started since I had a dark entity removed. I was told that the dark entity was a huge component of my depression and anxiety, and that I would feel better once it was removed. And I do, and I feel incredible, and I'm definitely getting my gifts, and I'm receiving messages. Everything's great. But I want to get off of my antidepressants and my other medications I've been taking for many, many years. I was wondering, how is that going to affect my spiritual reactivation? Is it going to change my gifts at all? Is it going to make it more powerful? Is it going to... I'm scared they're going to go away. So I was just wondering if you have any thoughts about that. Thank you.
Jesse, thank you for sharing. Thank you for being vulnerable and sharing your journey and what you're experiencing right now. I know a lot of clients who have been experiencing big bouts of depression who have gone and had dark entities removed and have noticed such a transformation. I've myself seen a practitioner who basically scans your body and removes any negative energies or dark entities. She kind of separates them on a scale of, you know, releasing negative energy and dark entities to release them from the energetic body. And I personally noticed a really big shift. Even though I wasn't depressed, I noticed the energy, especially around my heart space. In one of the energy clearings, she was removing a negative energy from my heart space. And I specifically could feel the shift in my heart once that energy had been removed. In fact, what I'll do is I'll put the practitioner's name into the show notes as I'm recording this. I can't remember her name off the top of my head, but I will put the link into the show notes. I found the experience really powerful, but be aware, there are a lot of psychics and healers out there telling people that they have dark entities and negative energies attached to them when they don't. And they're using this to get more money from you and to hook you in, that you need to be working with them on a weekly, monthly basis to keep these negative energies away. That is complete and utter rubbish. So be aware of that. But the practitioner I'll share in the show notes comes from a very heart-led place and is legitimate. So, Jessie, I'm pleased now that this dark entity has been removed, that your gifts are flowing in and you're feeling more confident. Talking about getting off of antidepressants and how that is going to affect your gifts. You are on a spiritual reactivation right now and you're taking antidepressants and you can still feel spirit. You're still having this spiritual reactivation, even though that you are on the antidepressants. Being on antidepressants won't affect your gifts. You'll still be able to connect to spirit. You'll still be able to have the messages that come through. You mentioned that you were scared that your gifts would go away if you came off the antidepressants. Know that that isn't the case. It doesn't matter whether you're on them or off them, your gifts won't change. They won't go away. I'm not a doctor, I'm not a medical practitioner, but I will say that if anyone is considering going off their medication, make sure you do it slowly and with the help of a trained medical professional. If it feels aligned and you feel cool that you're being asked to step away from taking the antidepressants and it feels aligned, amazing. Go on that journey, but make sure that you're being supported with that process. But if you know in your heart that you need to keep being on the antidepressants and that this isn't the time to step away from them, know that you will still be able to connect to spirit and your intuition whilst being on them. Thanks for asking this question, Jessie. I hope this answer helped because I know that there are a lot of listeners out there that need to hear that as well. I'm just interrupting this episode to let you know about my new online workshop, Get Gifted. We're all intuitive and can connect to our natural born gifts. We all have seeing, feeling, hearing and knowing gifts, but some are probably stronger than others. But we can develop each of these gifts to make them stronger. This is why my new online workshop, Get Gifted, is here to help you. Each mini workshop that's part of this series will focus on helping you develop each gift. But to be honest, more importantly, it will help you discover how you like to work with each gift, as we all have our own unique way of working with our intuition. Get Gifted is everything I wish I'd had all in one place when I was first learning. Each workshop consists of how-to videos, practical tools, exercises, and guided meditations. There are also 4 workbooks to go with each section. Payment plans are available, and there's a link to find out more about the workshops and how to sign up in the show notes. Plus, if you'd like to discover how you receive your intuitive guidance, you can take my free online quiz. It will tell you what your strongest gift is and how you can improve all your other gifts. And I'll let you in on a secret. If you do the quiz, you'll receive a discount code on Get Gifted. So if you're ready to develop your intuitive gifts, go and check out Get Gifted. Okay, next question is from Chelsea.
Hi, Nat. My name is Chelsea and I am from Newcastle, Australia. So my question is, I've been doing readings for people and I've had great success. They'll ask questions I see or hear very clearly, so I'm confident in that sense. But there are certain times where they ask certain questions, nothing specific, but I almost get a block or a wall and I don't know what to tell them in that moment because I don't have an answer for them. And I guess the underlying feeling I get is that they're meant to figure out this answer on their own. But again, I just don't really know what to say. And even I've experienced this where certain answers come in really clearly for certain questions. And then there's some questions where I get nothing. So if you can expand or clarify on what's going on here, that'd be really great. Thank you.
Hi, Chelsea. Oh, I love Australia. I just, when I heard you were in Australia, I was like, oh, such a special connection for me in Australia. Definite past lives. I love being there. I know I've said this in the podcast before, but I really want to go to Australia and do some events down with you guys and have an Australian trip. So yeah, need to make that happen. Back to your question. Congrats on sharing messages with others and that you're having success sharing messages energetically. I'm just getting this message that this is so part of your journey and you're a really gifted and talented reader. So yeah, keep doing what you're doing with that because it's really important that you are. But yeah, when you get that block, when someone asks a question in a reading, in a session, and you don't get an answer for them, what on earth does it mean? For me, when this happens in sessions and there is silence from spirit and I don't get the message that wants to come through, firstly, I will ask spirit for an answer in a different way. I'm like, okay, there's silence. I will ask them a version of the question that might not be the full question that the person wants to hear, but it might be like a part of the question so that they can get something from it. But yes, you're right. If they are asking a question and nothing comes through, I say that there is, I will be straight up and honest and say, look, that's not clear right now. I'm being shown two different pathways where it could go this way or another way, or that there is a block right now that you need to look at before you receive that part of the information that wants to come through. And then I will ask spirit, what is that block? What is the block from them receiving that information? Sometimes as well, people aren't ready to hear that information, even though they think they are, and they've come into a session being like, I really want to hear about this, and nothing comes through about it. It might be that they're not ready to hear the information that wants to come through, and that's why there's a pause. And as you mentioned in your question, yes, it can be that they also need to go and discover that answer for themselves. They need to practice their own self-sovereignty. They need to go and look at what that question means for them, what the journey is, and really act on their own gifts. But yeah, when that comes up, yeah, be honest, be straight up. Ask spirit to give it to you a different way. Ask them what the block is. Take it on a case-by-case basis, on a session-by-session basis. But no, it's not that you're failing the client, that you can't get an answer to that, or that you're not tapping into your gifts in the right way, or that you're failing somehow as a reader because you can't give them an answer on that question. I know that when we do client sessions, there can be a lot of pressure that you want to share all the information that wants to come through, and sometimes that information doesn't want to come through and spirit want to talk about something else that time in that session, and that is why that person is here. Because sometimes people come in with an expectation of what they want, but actually spirit has different intentions for the session. They're like, nope, we don't want to talk about this, we actually want to talk about this because actually this is more important and it impacts that in a different way. Thanks for your question, Chelsea. Hope that helps. Next question is from Brianna, and it's a really great question on codes. What on earth do codes mean when we are talking about codes in the spiritual world?
Hi, Natalie. My name is Brianna, and I am from Oregon. I have a question that, I mean, I feel like it's a stupid question, but then I'm trying to tell myself that there's no such thing as a stupid question. Often I hear people talking about codes and downloading codes, and I just have to be honest, I have no idea what that means, and I was hoping you could explain it. Thank you so much for the work you do. I appreciate your podcast and all of the posts you make. They're so relatable and they are so on point. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.
Brianna, this is not a stupid question. This is an awesome question because, oh my gosh, there is so much spiritual jargon. There is so much spiritual labeling, words being flown around in the spiritual community. And it's like, what on earth does that mean? And asking what codes are is an awesome question. because I know that in my episode with Aaron Rose, I gave him a message that he was receiving new codes. So yeah, it all ties in. And if you're listening to this and you haven't had a listen to the episode with Aaron Rose, go and have a listen. It's really great. And it's about a new paradigm and energy for 2020. When people talk about codes, downloading codes, source codes, receiving codes, what it means and what I take it to mean for me personally is that that person is receiving light codes, new information, source codes from source, from other dimensions, new information that is important for them to receive in their body for their life. It's like having an upgrade, like an upgraded source code of information that comes in into the body that gives them new messages, gives them new energy into their auric field. And it's like a big computer upgrade. So yeah, it's codes that come in that can upgrade the physical, emotional and spiritual body, and it basically flows on in and upgrades that person. And a lot of people describe it as light codes, source codes, spiritual codes. Some people talk about intergalactic energy, energy from other planets, other beings, other dimensions, and that that code comes from there, from this different dimensional energy, and it comes down into our human bodies, into and onto our planet. So that's what I understand around when I receive the messages around codes and what that means. Thanks for asking such a great question.
Hi, this is Barb from Colorado. Now, I know that you say that everyone is intuitive, but I have been trying to connect with my spirit guides and my intuition for quite a while now, and I don't seem to be having much luck. When I first started getting into crystals, I could not feel their energy in my hands like, you know, everybody talks about. After a while, I started to realize that I was getting kind of a weird, fuzzy, tingly feeling in my third chakra, my solar plexus chakra, but that's all. I took the quiz on your website, and it said that I'm a visual intuitive, but again, I don't really feel like I'm getting anywhere with this. I don't see things. I don't see orbs. I don't see, you know, anything like that. I have been told by some people that I might be a healer, but again, I'm not really able to connect with anything. Is it possible that I have a blockage or something like that that is trying to is keeping me from connecting? Also, I have tried your guided meditation to meet my spirit guide, but it felt really forced to me, like I was just making stuff up. As a matter of fact, my spirit guide looked like Gandalf from The Lord of the Rings, so I don't know. So I guess my question is it possible that maybe I'm just blocked, or, you know, maybe I just don't, you know, have it. So thank you.
Barb, thank you for sharing your story and the frustrations that you are experiencing around connecting to your intuition and the feeling and wondering whether you're making it all up and is it part of your imagination and are you experiencing a block? These questions are the questions that I get asked the most when connecting to your intuition. So know that you're not alone. The main question that you ask is, am I blocked? Am I blocking myself from my gifts? Just energetically, me tuning in to the question and the energy around this question, there is a sense of, you know that you're intuitive, but a desperation around the timing of it. Like you want it all now, like that you want to experience it all now. And what I've come to learn with working with my own gifts and working with clients developing their own individual gifts, that we all work differently. And timing wise, parts of our gifts will come in at different times. There's no kind of linear pathway of how the gifts will come in. And so sometimes certain aspects come in slower and some things are quicker, and it's different with different people. but as I'm talking and I'm connecting to spirit around this, they're just saying that you're focusing on what you can't do versus on what you can do. And it's about reshifting your perspective around what you do have as your intuitive gifts and the messages that you're receiving and the signs that you're getting, because you know that you're getting them. But it's not about trying to put them into a box or trying to compare them to others or what you think you should be experiencing, but really being like, this is how I work and this is how it feels in my body, and I'm connecting to it in this way, and that's really part of that. We're all visual intuitives, and some of us aren't going to see orbs. Like, I don't see orbs on a daily basis. I see them very, very rarely, but I know that my seeing gifts show up when signs and guidance from spirit in my everyday life, where I get the repetitive imagery that comes through and I'm like, okay, yep, I know that's a message. I know I need to listen to that. I know I need to take that visual message in. I'd really suggest going to have a listen to the first episode around releasing blocks to your intuition. And I know I've mentioned it in this episode already, but go and do the guided meditation on releasing the fear and releasing the ancestral shame around connecting to your intuition. And there's also a guided meditation on opening your third eye to receive. I really feel like by going back and revisiting those, that would be really helpful. And the part of your question where you talk about meeting the spirit guide and saying that you saw Gandalf and that you felt like you were making it all up, our creative films, our books, our music, the creative imagery that we have in our world comes from spirit. Like, it comes from this connection to source. I've had experiences where I have connected to guides on the other side and they look exactly like Gandalf. And trust me, I feel you when it's like, am I making this up because I've seen Gandalf and I've watched Lord of the Rings and now I'm being shown that? No, because that energy, the energy of Gandalf, that creative vision of Gandalf is connected to the spiritual world, and that is how it has been realized on this plane. And spirit do this to make it more accessible for us, to make us feel safe by what we see. So by them showing you a Gandalf-like figure, it shows you that there is a male energy with the energy of Gandalf and what he represents to you personally, that is important and is part of your spirit guide energy. So for you personally and for anyone listening, what does Gandalf represent for you? So what themes, what energy, what he represents? Go and have a look at that, because it will give you an insight to the guide that is trying to connect with you. And go slow, be kind to yourself. And when you get into this self-doubting that you're making it up, that you're not intuitive, or that you're not progressing as quickly as you'd like, take a pause, take a break, shift the energy and reconnect when you feel more high vibe and ready to receive. I hope that helps, Barb. Next question is from Amy.
Hi, Natalie. This is Amy, and I am, dialing in from New York City. And I have a question around soul contracts and how it relates to current relationships in your life. I have been told in the past that some of my toxic relationships were soul contracts that I have carried over from previous lives. But my question is everyone that you have a relationship with in this life, do you have a contract with them? For example, I've been dating a new guy for the past 6 months and things are going really great. He's never come up in a reading before. And I'm just wondering, because we're dating now and we could potentially have a long-term future, does that necessarily mean that we had a soul contract in a previous life? Or can new people kind of pop up on your soul contract radar, if that makes sense? Thanks so much. Bye.
Amy, such an important question, especially around soul contracts and romantic partnerships. So firstly, I just want to talk about what a soul contract is. Soul contracts are agreements we make with other souls before we are born, and that when we interact with those people in our lives, that they will bring like big changes of transformation, that we will learn things about ourselves, that we will heal things about ourselves, and that those interactions have a special meaning, and that we chose to have these lessons, learnings, and meet that person before we've reincarnated into this body so that we can learn, evolve, develop, and grow. And it's really interesting that you asked that, because I'm getting this message to channel through about soul contracts now that I've started to talk, and this is how I love working with spirit, because they're saying that soul contracts feel so fixed, like we've given it some human label that everything has to have a soul contract for us to have the healing, for us to upgrade, for us to shift. And they're like, no, like it's not about that. And it's not about having that healing from specific individuals, that we're always learning, we're always healing. And it's not dependent on the human connections that we have, which I find really interesting. But every relationship isn't connected to a soul contract that needs to be fulfilled. There'll be some relationships that might be particularly difficult, or there might be some learning that you both have agreed to have in this lifetime. Yes, but not all of them. And Spirit just want to share that it's kind of old paradigm messaging that soul contracts exist, and that we have freedom in our souls to experience things. We don't have to fulfill, inverted commas, they're showing to me, like soul contracts. Our life isn't to be fixed by soul contracts or healing around soul contracts. And it's actually about finding and discovering the freedom within the relationships and the learning, and for us to not see it as a contract, but see it more of that we are healing and growing and evolving together, and that a soul contract has an energy of being bound, of it being potentially difficult, and that we need to shift our perspective on that. Yeah, I hope that helps, but know that you are not defined by your soul contracts in relationships. And just a quick message, the relationship that you're in now, for however long it lasts, know that you just know in your heart that you've been brought together to heal, learn, grow, and evolve together. And it's not about fulfilling some soul contract. It's not about this end game, this goal that we must achieve. It's not about that. It's just about experiencing the love and seeing what triggers in us and what comes up for us, and learning and growing and evolving together. Thanks, Amy. Great question. Our last question is from Natalie.
Hi, Natalie. This is Natalie. I'm from Michigan, and I have a question about mediumship. I have always had some medium powers, but I just wonder how you develop those more. Got your Get Gifted workshop, and I'm slowly starting to work on the modules. But I'm just wondering if the mediumship gifts appear when you embrace your seeing, knowing, hearing, feeling gifts, or if they come separately, and how do you work on those? Thanks.
Hi, Natalie. Yeah, mediumship, how to develop your mediumship gifts. It's different for everyone. Some people will work on mediumship separately, and some people will work on developing the other gifts, and the mediumship will naturally come in with that. It really just depends on the person and on the individual. It's not one size fits all. For me personally, when I developed my other gifts, the mediumship just started to turn up and they started to appear. But then I fine-tuned my skills into developing my mediumship more. And in fact, to be honest, I actually asked my guides and I asked the other side to be like, okay, I want to develop my gifts more. Will you guys step forward? Will will love one step more through in my client sessions because I want to share more messages with you. Ways that you can develop your mediumship gifts further. I don't have an online course right now on how to develop your mediumship gifts, but for me personally, what I found when I was learning was, firstly, I asked loved ones to step forward. In fact, there is an episode on the podcast all about mediumship. I think it's called We Are All Mediums, or We Can All Be Mediums. I'll put the link in the show notes, but I'd go and have a listen to that. One of the images that I love is that there's a bridge of light, and you imagine the loved one stepping across the bridge of light that you want to connect to. For me, it was also kind of working out how the other side like to connect with me through mediumship. So I now know that when a male spirit comes through, they stand on the right side of my body. And when a female energy wants to come through, they stand on the left-hand side of my body. And for me personally, through mediumship, I will see things connected with that person's life. So they will show me something that they love, they will show me a place that they love, and I really trust what I'm being visually shown and what I'm hearing as well. But when a loved one in spirit comes through, I ask, okay, show me something about you that is going to make sense to the person I'm giving a reading to prove that it is you that has stepped forward. Sometimes I ask for a name or the start of their name, what they look like. I ask them to step forward and I describe what they look like. How tall are they? What is their body shape? What are they wearing? What do they look like? What do they sound like? I just start being the detective of trying to piece the puzzles together of who this person is, what they look like, what their energy is like. You can tell as well through mediumship the energy of a person, whether they're happy and bubbly, or are they more quiet or timid, or were they depressed or feeling low when they passed? Were they stubborn? Yeah, it's really about piecing the puzzle together, but start by, yeah, what they look like, their energy, their name, any imagery that they want to share, and really just trust yourself around being the detective and piecing the information together, and trust that what might not make sense for you might make sense for the person that you're sharing the message for. Sometimes I get weird imagery and I'm like, oh, that doesn't make any sense. What is that all about? For example, I was on the phone to my sister, and her girlfriend's grandfather in spirit was in their apartment, and as I was talking to my sister, I suddenly tuned into this masculine energy and I was like, ah, it's Jen's grandfather that's here. And then I kept getting imagery of pie, eating pies, and he kept showing me pies. And I said to Ray's my sister Rachel, and I said to her, oh, Jen's grandfather's here. And he keeps showing me imagery of pies. And she laughed and she said, oh yeah, he's been around since yesterday and we had pie for dinner last night. So I asked her grandfather, what's the message around pie? And he's just like, oh, I love a good pie. And I watched them eating pie last night and just wanted to let them know that I was around and that he wished he was eating pie with them. And that was the message. But yeah, we can all be mediums, we can all connect to loved ones, and mediumship can be grown separately, but it can also appear as you develop the other intuitive gifts. Thank you for everyone who submitted a question. I hope the answer to these questions have resonated with the rest of the audience listening. There are other questions that people submitted, and I'm going to be doing more Q&A episodes going forward. So if you have a spiritual intuitive based question that has popped into your head whilst listening to this episode, please send me a voice memo, email it to me at podcast@nataliemiles.com, mention your name, keep the question short and punchy, and I would love to answer your questions. Thank you for listening to this episode. As I mentioned at the start, make sure you sign up to my newsletter so that you get the link to the one-on-one sessions and the Sacred Guidance Circle sessions if you want to receive messages from Spirit from me. And remember that it is the Create Your Money Freedom Circle this evening, and a replay is available. So if you want to look at your money blocks, head to the show notes and join me for this circle, or join and sign up for the replay. Thanks for listening. If you've enjoyed the episode, please give us a 5-star review on iTunes. Give us 5 stars, leave me a comment. I'd love to hear how you're enjoying this podcast. Thanks for listening, and I'll be back next week with another episode of So You Think You're Intuitive. Bye.